right, good afternoon. Hope you all had a pleasant evening and afternoon and lunch and all that good stuff right there. A whole bunch of you asked me if I got a nap in. I did, so I have no excuses tonight whatsoever. So we're here tonight, and we're here, obviously here to worship God, the continuation of this series of lessons. And if you hadn't noticed this morning, you know, our class period this morning was really about the exhortation to keep believing, to believe and trust in God. And then we looked at God breathing into us the very word of life, his word, and because, you know, that's the source of our faith. So we keep believing, we keep breathing, we keep taking that in. We're going to be talking about faith again tonight, because I think the most encouraging thing I can talk to you about is faith in God. It's really the topic of God, talking about God. The next three lessons we're going to have after this coming Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're going to talk about God a lot. Certainly that's our highest and loftiest topic of discussion, but at the same time, it continually centers us in our faith, helps us to grow, be strong, and to be encouraged in the life that we're living. Tonight we're going to be talking about a lesson I call Passing the Ultimate Test. Have your Bibles be turning to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. The majority of the lesson will be taken from that particular passage. In Genesis chapter 22, you probably already know very well what's happening there, and we will get into that here in just a minute. But I'll go ahead and ask you as we get into our lesson tonight, basically, have you ever had to take a test? Anybody here ever had to take a test? Some of you are long past your test-taking days, I can tell. Some of you are right in the middle of your test-taking, you know. Some of us understand there's different kinds of tests. Remember taking your driver's test? I couldn't wait till I was 16 to take my driver's test. I thought I was already a super driver. You know, I found out pretty quick that I wasn't. I took my oldest son to get his driver's test. Bless his heart, he failed it the first time around. You know, you can say anything you want to say, bless his heart, before you start that sentence. You know that. So I wasn't happy. He wasn't happy, but he passed it the second time around there. If you're in school, you're going to be taking a lot of tests. This test is going to show how much you know. Or in the case of this kind of test we're talking about tonight, it's going to try us. It's going to test us. We're going to see, okay, what do you really believe? What do you and I really believe? What did Abraham really believe? And I tell you what, that's why I call it the passing the ultimate test. And the fact that you gotta put your money where your mouth is. It's easy to say I believe. It's easy to say I'm going to follow God. It's easy to say I believe in Jesus. It's easy for us to say all those things. But let's just say when there's nothing to prove it in front of you except trusting in the promises of God, that's when that's rubber meets the road. That's the brass tacks. That's where the chocolate meets a donut. So that's where we have to understand that we have to get down to, do we really believe in God? Can I really trust God with the rest of my life? Can I trust God with my eternity? Can I trust God with my family? Can I trust God with the life that I'm living every day as a human being? And Satan's going to try to convince you of otherwise. He doesn't want you to trust God. You know what? We go back to that garden scene, that talking snake this morning, and what do you see right there? He's saying, you know, that God knows that the day that you eat of it, not so, but the day that you eat of it, you'll be like him, knowing good. And he's saying you cannot trust God, because he doesn't have your best interest in mind. You know what? The devil's lie continues at this hour. And he's going to try to convince you, if you're a young person, you're not so young person, don't trust God. Trust yourself. Do for yourself. Do what's best for you. Do what makes you happy. I don't know how many people I hear say this. Do what makes you happy. I think even Christians have gotten caught up into this do what makes you happy stuff. We really are, especially as Americans, get really focused on being happy. Brethren, happiness is not the same as holiness. We got that, right? All right, we're commanded to be a holy people, not particularly a happy people. We're commanded to be a joyful people. Joy is greater than happiness. Happiness is going to come and go. Joy is going to stay with you. You know what? Holiness to the Lord is going to equate to you being joyful. And so in our culture, it's all about being happy. If we can just line up enough stuff to gratify us and keep the experiences going, we'll be happy. But brethren, you and I both know that, you know what, that's just almost impossible to do. How many of you as parents can keep your children happy all the time? All right, How many of you as spouses can keep your husband and her wife happy all the time? We sometimes think that it's my job to make sure my wife is happy. No, it's not. It's their job. Okay, that's where we get this messed up at. You know what? I'm not responsible for the happiness of my wife. I'm responsible for doing the things God commanded me to love her like Christ loved the church. I'm responsible for nourishing her and cherishing her like my own body. That's my responsibility. Happiness is an inside job. That's going to be up to her. And likewise, she's not responsible for my happiness. She's responsible for respecting me and submitting to me like the church does to Christ. My happiness has to be an inside job between me and the Lord. And so as Americans, as Christians, let's get a grip on that, okay? And the fact that God is here to help us to become holy, to draw near to Him, to walk with Him, and that as we do this, that is going to be the life that we were designed to have by Him. God, can we trust God that He has got your best life designed already? And all you have to do is heed, listen, obey what He's telling you. I'm going to trust you enough to live the life you've got for me, and likewise, I will have the life that I can have as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, Exodus the 22nd chapter, you know here that already the promises have been made to Abraham prior to this 12 and 15. We had a reiteration there about those promises, and that now God decides to test Abraham. So let's go over there if you would. Let's read a few verses out of that passage. I didn't do a good job of turning there myself. So, Genesis the 22nd chapter, correct myself. You'll notice there, now it came to pass after these things, verse 1, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Okay, easy. Not a problem. Let's just go to church, right? We're going to worship. Hey, Abraham, I want you to go to this mountain, and you're going to worship me there, and there's something you're going to have to do. You're going to have to take your son, your only son, the son that you love. Great, this is a family out, isn't it? All right, here we got Abraham, his son Isaac, the son of promise, son he's had when he's 100 years old, and mama's 90, and we're going out and we're going to go worship the Lord. Just like you bringing your families here tonight, right? Except for one little minor detail. Sacrifice your son. A burnt offering. Offer your son to me. Now, the room is real quiet right now. And God is asking Abraham to sacrifice his own son, the son of promise, the son that he loves, and not only just a burnt offering. Brethren, you know what that means? That means you kill them and you put them on a fire and they're completely consumed. That's what this means. God's calling Abraham to do something that might not make sense to him or us. And I want you to think about this, is that there are times when God is going to be calling us to do something that it might not make sense to us. But can we trust God enough to step out in faith? Can we do that? Because this is the challenge. You know, the challenge is not to do the things that are always confirmed. The challenge is to go someplace where you hadn't been before. And that's what we're facing right here. And brethren, as we are Christians walking through this world, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And we want to walk by sight and not by faith. The call for us is to walk by faith in God. Let God direct your steps. Don't try to do it yourself. I always thought about this picture here of Abraham, this old man, taking this boy. And the boy, of course, carrying the wood. And Abraham being prepared to do this thing and to go. And he's taking some other fellows out there with him. And you'll notice here, as we already said, this could be pretty counterintuitive to what God's plan would even be. All right, so what was God's plan? That through the seed of Abraham, what's going to happen? He's going to have a great nation. It'll be like the sands of the seas and the stars of the heavens. They're going to receive a land of promise. We know that is Canaan's land. Okay, and that through his seed, all nations of the earth are going to be blessed. If Isaac is dead, how can any of that happen? Doesn't that seem like this doesn't make any sense? How's this going to work? I offered Isaac, and so now Isaac's gone, and so those promises God made, how in the world will he fulfill any of that? I don't see Abraham asking any of those questions. Do you? He's not asking any questions at all. He's just going. He just loads up, gets a couple of young guys to go with him. They head out to do what God had asked, to commanded him to do. That's faith. Somebody wants to say today, well, I've got faith. Well, I'm here to tell you what your faith is what you believe and how you obey it. They have to be put together. All right, your faith without obedience is not faith. You don't have any faith. When you believe and you put it into action, now you got faith. And that's exactly what Abraham is showing you, this great father of faith. Now, I'll ask us a personal question here as we go forward. Would you do it? You be Abraham tonight. And you've got one son of promise that you love, and God tells you to go offer that, would you do it? Now, some of you have children, some of you don't. Some of you've got grandchildren. Let's just face it here. All right, you've got one child that you love, and God wants him. Would you offer him to God? Would you pack up the mules? Would you get the help? Would you put the wood on his back? Would you carry the knife? Would you do it? I wish this was a class instead of a sermon. It makes my stomach turn. I got two sons and a daughter. I got five grandchildren and one on the way. And for somebody to say, well, you need to sacrifice, you pick out one of your kids or your grandkids that you love, and let's sacrifice them to the Lord. Now, the next part is, how could he do it, really? What did Abraham believe? 22:5, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and what? Here it is. And we will come back to you. He's telling the two guys that are with him, you know what? We're going to go, we're going to worship, and we're going to come back. What did Abraham believe that allowed him to act in this way, to step out in this faith? What did he believe about God? What do I believe about God? As he gets ready to take the life of his child there, you know here that he placed the wood in order. He put the child on there. He put the lad on this altar and gets ready to take his life. Now in verse 6, so Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? He's a bright boy, isn't he? We got everything that we need, Dad. Where's the lamb at? Okay, all right. Where's that thing at? They went to, and Abraham said, this is so important, verse 8. My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And the two of them went together. Did you catch it in there? God will provide. God will provide. I want this thought to be held in your mind tonight. What Abraham believed was that God will provide. Hebrews, the sixth chapter. If you want to be turning over there, if you'd like to, you notice there that Abraham believed in something that God had done. And you notice on the slide here, he says, for when God had made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Verse 17. Thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, that's a promise and an oath, that's the two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. Now that's kind of a complicated passage, but it's not really. What he's saying there is God made a promise to Abraham and Abraham believed it. That God made a promise to Abraham and God confirmed it. And that God made a promise to Abraham and God cannot lie. And that likewise, Abraham believed in that. Abraham believed the promise. That's what he believed. And so he believes what? That whatever happens, the promise has to come true. It has to come to pass. Any of you ever made a promise? Anybody in this room made a promise? We all got to wake up a little bit here tonight. Anybody made a promise? Any of you ever broken a promise? All right. I remember I told my kids I'd take them to the zoo. I never did. They were five. And, you know, I get reminded of that from time to time from my children. Dad, you said you're going to take us to the zoo, and you didn't. You're right. I broke my promise. God has never broken a promise, ever. He makes it. It is going to happen. Now, we might not understand how it's going to happen, but it is going to happen. Abraham here knows the promise has been made to him concerning his son, concerning this nation, concerning the blessing to all people of the earth. He knows that God has confirmed that. He's sworn an oath by that. And you know what? He believes those things will come to pass no matter what. And that type of faith is what propelled Abraham to Mount Moriah and to place his boy upon that altar and to raise the knife to kill him. He believed God would provide. I'll just ask us, talk about Isaac for a second. Would you or could you be as obedient as Isaac? Dad said, let's go worship, son. Okay. I'm going to go with you, Dad. Dad, I see the firewood and the knife and the fire. And I don't see no lamb. But I'm still going to go. Because you told me. The Lord will provide. Could I be as obedient and trusting as Isaac? What about another person? Being obedient and as trusting as Jesus. Because Jesus came into this world to do one thing, and that was to be offered as a sacrifice. And brethren, he knew that his whole life. When he was just a boy in Jerusalem, he told his parents, Mary and Joseph, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? He's 12 years old. Do you know something about the city of Jerusalem? The city of Jerusalem has troughs cut in the streets, like ditches. And that during the Passover, when people came into town, they offered thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of lambs were offered during the Passover. And that the blood of the Lamb ran through the streets of Jerusalem. And so the first time that Jesus walks into the city here, I don't know what age he, the first time he made the trip, or if at 12, this is the first time he made the trip. But when that boy came into Jerusalem on the days of the Passover, you know what he saw? He saw the sacrificed blood of the Lamb flowing through the city. He understood he was that Lamb. Later on, the announcement's going to be made, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, looking straight at Jesus. He understood that he was the Lamb. He set his face toward Jerusalem, and he told his disciples what was going to happen when he got there. And they got upset. Even Peter said, "Not so, Lord, far be it from you that you should do so." And he said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're mindful of the things of men and not the things of God." The things of God is I've got to go to Jerusalem and I've got to be offered. What trust in his Father. What obedience. What a complete submission to the will of the Father. It's passing the ultimate test, isn't it? Based on what? That the Lord would provide. We know back in Genesis 22 that the angel stayed Abraham's hand, told him not to kill the boy, not to kill Isaac. And that they looked into the brambles or the bushes, and what did they find over there? Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He made the offering. God stopped him. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called." He offered him up, knowing that everything had to come through Isaac. Concluding this, verse 19. Please hold on to this tonight. I know it's probably been a long day. Verse 19. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. What did Abraham believe about the power of God and his son? He believed that if he killed his son, that God would raise him from the dead. That's what he believed. Now, does that today, let's just talk for a second. You know, the resurrection is the central thought of the New Testament. Do we really believe in the resurrection today? That you will be raised from the dead? That's a great question, isn't it? Our faith is in the power of God to raise the dead. Okay? He raises us from the dead, obviously spiritually and physically. That's our hope. Because if God doesn't raise you from the dead, you're just 6 feet under. You're just like Rover and you're dead all over. That's all that there is. There will be nothing else. Okay? But what we are believing is that God can raise us from the dead. Either we believe that or we don't. And it's not just living a good life. It is putting our trust in Him. He received Him, from which He also received Him in a figurative sense. Isaac was as good as dead, wasn't he? And God gave him back. Jesus did die, and God raised him and exalted him to his right hand and placed all heaven and earth and underneath his feet in authority. There's a lot of similarities between Isaac and Jesus, and this is a great little note section right here, but you know, Isaac and Jesus were both one and only sons in the sense of being the sons of promise, born by power and the will of God. They were sons who carried wood on their backs on their way to their sacrifice or death. They are sons who obeyed their fathers in quiet determination. The fathers had envisioned their resurrection on the way to the altar, and God, in both cases, provided the substitute, Jesus being that substitute for us. Found a ram with his horns hung up in the bushes over there. And they offered him. I don't know what it was like for Abraham and Isaac to stand there while this ram was killed and placed on that fire and watching it burn up before God. I can promise you this, neither one of them is ever going to forget this moment, are they? Abraham called this place something. You notice in the passage here it says, "And Abraham called the name of this place, 'The Lord will provide.'" He named this place, "The Lord will provide." Jehovah or Yahweh Yireh. That's what he called it. the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord, it shall be provided. The Lord will provide. Now I'll ask you real simply here, what do you believe? Can you pass that test of faith? We'll be sons of Abraham, because that's what we're called to be, as those who walk in faith, as Abraham's faith. Do you believe the Lord will provide even in your hour of your greatest trial? Now this is where we're going to get down to it. Do you believe that God will take care of you here tonight? We sing the song, God will take care of us, don't we? Do you believe the Lord will take care of you no matter what happens? Do you? I'll ask you, have you prayed to God and God answered your prayers? Have you prayed to God and God answered your prayers? Right? Has there been times in your life where you didn't know which way to go, but you knew that God was in control of your life and you prayed to God and it worked out? Has that happened to you? Has that happened to you? It's happened to me. All right. Has there been times financially you didn't know how you was going to pay your bills and all of a sudden now you got a way to pay your bills? Has there been a time in your life when you were sick or somebody that you loved was sick and you prayed to God and God answered the prayer for that person to get well? We take all that for granted. Talk tonight about the person here who was in the automobile wreck. We pray to be safe and that we come back and that we may not go make all these travels. I just call the church at Mount Washington the traveling church. Everybody turn around, somebody's going somewhere. And we pray about it for our safety, and you know what? Everybody comes home. What about in those really, really hard hours when you don't know what to say anymore? You don't know what to do. You just say, God, I need help. You ever prayed that prayer? I prayed it a lot. God, I just need your help. I can't take care of this. Did God help you? Amen. He sure did. The Lord will provide. He is going to take care of us. Paul talked about this all the time in his writings. Even when things were horrible, he talked about that God was taking care of them and that he would fulfill his word and promise to them over and over and over again. He constantly mentions this, that God provides. Brethren, what a great comfort and encouragement to us that our Lord hears our prayers and provides for us. I'm going to close tonight with this little story. And you may or may not have heard this. God's provided for us with his son. And you can read the slide up there, all the things we really actually already talked about. But there's a story of there was a soldier sitting at the steps of the White House. And the soldier was crying. And, that's kind of uncharacteristic. He's crying, and then a little boy walked up to him, and he said, sir, why are you crying? He said, well, I needed to talk to the president, and they won't let me in. And the little boy shook his head, yes. And then he went over, and he got the soldier by the hand. Oddly enough, and he told him to get up. He's pulling them by the hand. They go to the front door of the White House, and there are guards standing there. And they open the door and let the little boy and the soldier in. So they're walking down the hall and going past all these people that are the security, you know, here inside the White House. Nobody's saying a word. Nobody's stopping them. Nobody's making sure that they kick the soldier back out. The boy's just got him by the hand, buddy. He is just going, you know. He's going down the hall. He keeps going and going and going. And finally he gets to what we know is the Oval Office. And there's somebody standing there at the door, and the little boy walks up the door and just opens the door and walks right in with the soldier. And he walks up to the desk, and he says, Daddy, there's somebody here who needs to talk to you. The daddy was Abraham Lincoln, and the boy was Todd. And brethren, our God sent his son so that when we needed to talk to him, he could literally take us by the hand and bring us into the throne room of God, and for us to talk to God, and that us knowing that our God will take care of us and that nobody's going to stop us. The Lord will provide. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Those are the words of our Savior. Maybe tonight you need to respond to the gospel call of Jesus Christ. I can't imagine anything more exciting this evening if somebody says, I want to be a Christian. I want to be forgiven. I want to be saved. And that you make that stand. Or that there's a brother or sister in Christ here that you may be struggling. I know how you feel. I've been there, done that. You may be struggling. You need help. We are here to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6 and verse 2. That's what we're here for. We can pray for each other. We can approach that throne room and we can find some help in our time of need right now. If you need to respond, won't you do so while we stand and while we sing.